It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Welcome everybody to WNKY Weather Weekly Episode 8. I am meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, this episode is going to be valid from November 15th through the 21st, and we are recording it on Wednesday, November 14th. So before we get into what we're talking about for today, which is going to be our winter outlook,
yes,
we have a special friend of the pod with
friend
us here.
Friend of the pod. Okay, so we've name dropped for, I think, 6 weeks. We've hyped it up. Today is the day. Episode 8, it's the debut of our very own Evan Hatter. Evan, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. You know, doing a lot of production work, it's happy to have some sort of microphone in front of me again.
You've been behind the scenes for a while, it seems like.
Getting some opportunities on the air as well. One coming up here pretty soon, probably, so that's always fun. So you get to see more of my smiling face on television.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, Evan is our weather intern, and he also works behind the scenes as a production assistant.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Mostly graphics behind the scenes, but some other stuff as well.
So you're preparing for graduation, student at WKU.
In a little while.
The light at the end of the tunnel, is it visible yet?
Not quite. We're still coming over a hill at this point. But we're getting through it.
Well, we are glad that you're finally here. Next box to check off the checklist would be bringing Scott into town. And
yes,
full-blown weather episode. There
it's
we go.
Going to happen one of these days.
Mark our words. Hey,
yes,
we made this happen.
We did. We made Evan finally happen. And then the next step after that will be to get all four of us on the same show.
At the same time. That's always tricky.
That'll be tricky, but, you know, I have hope that it'll happen.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. All right. So we are already starting to see a little bit of a wintry mix here already as we are recording this. We are starting to see our first real sleet, ice, freezing rain, snow, everything in between event happening, which is actually, fun fact, it's actually pretty rare for us to see an ice event during November. This has only happened two other times in Bowling Green on record. We've seen freezing rain in November in 1976 and 1997, and here we are, 2018, seeing it again. It seems like it's got kind of a trend to be a 21-year event.
right on schedule. So it's not even Thanksgiving yet, and we're talking about winter advisories, watches, things like that, and we're off to a head start, it looks like.
Yeah, so with that, I guess let's delve into this winter outlook. So the National Weather Service actually released their winter outlook predictions about a month ago now, but now that it's becoming relevant, I think it's probably time for us to start talking about it.
Yeah, so this was, like you mentioned, a month ago. October 18th is when the National Weather Service released this outlook, and they mention a lot of the potential for an El Nino this year. It does look like, at least the last things that I read a couple weeks ago, that is still on track. But I don't think it's as strong as some El Niños in the past. I know sometimes those can cause some one way or the other, really. But most times, if there's an El Niño, especially stronger El Niños, we will typically here in the Ohio Valley see warmer and wetter winters. But there are, and I will touch on this just because I personally know this meteorologist from my hometown. He has a much different winter outlook, but we'll hold that until the end of the show. But looks like essentially for our region, the Weather Service is just going with equal chances of both normal precipitation and normal temperatures. So that would, I mean, a normal winter for us would be you get your cold at times, some days a little bit above normal, and your average snowfalls as well. So a typical winter is what they're expecting, is at least what it looks like from what they posted. And I mentioned the El Nino. They were kind of heavy on the El Nino possibility of impacting our weather, and I think that's why they've kind of split the difference and not really going one way or the other. But again, this was about a month ago. I don't know, maybe you can correct me, I don't know if they update that through the winter months or if they change that at all. I'm not sure if they do that or from the Weather Service standpoint.
Aren't those 3-month outlooks, right? So
yes, I believe so.
So yes, they would be updated every every month or so as they go along.
So they issued it in October, on October 18th, and it was for December through February. So I'm not sure if we get towards this month if they will update that to reflect any changes for those 3 months.
I think they might, you know, especially, you know, it's that cyclical, like, they give a forecast every 3 months or so, you know, every month for the next 3 months or so. Especially considering we haven't even left meteorological fall yet, it would not surprise me to see them issue another one, probably this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going on about a month since that last update, and we've got we're halfway through the month right now, and that means we've got about 2 weeks left for meteorological fall before meteorological winter begins on December 1st, so we shall see, but it just kind of, I think they're mentioning one of the bullet points I see here is that they say no part of the U.S. is favored to have below average temperatures. I don't know if they're using the El Nino possibility to justify that, because it also, on the precipitation map, it shows above average precipitation basically along the southwest, right along the Gulf Coast, and the southeast United States. So that's, I think, that subtropical jet stream, a little warmer, a little more moisture, usually tracks in the southern part of the United States during an El Nino year. So at least what I'm seeing, I think they're kind of heavily leaning towards that El Nino impacting our winter this season. But as I mentioned, I'll touch here in a few minutes, other meteorologists don't necessarily agree with that. But at least from what I'm seeing, that's what it looks like they're leaning towards.
Yeah, and I know that we've been, you keep mentioning El Nino, yeah. So let's first get into a little bit what about El Nino is. El Nino is just kind of a band of warmer ocean waters in these winter months, so typically that would mean for us a milder winter, potentially a wetter winter, but as we had mentioned, it seems like maybe a little weaker El Nino, so that's kind of what they're looking at with staying with these, where it's about that average for your temperatures, and there's not leaning one way or the other with what we can see. And of course, you know, that doesn't mean that we won't be seeing some crazy storms potentially this winter, or, you know, maybe we'll be seeing a milder winter where it's just kind of in between that zone now is what it seems like they're forecasting for us.
And one of my favorite lines from a professor I had at Ball State, he talked about, first of all, issuing a winter forecast in general. He said, kind of jokingly, he said, you know, you can put whatever you want in that forecast, because if you release that in November, by the time January, February rolls around, people aren't really going to remember what you said to begin with. So you can just kind of wing it and say whatever you want. But the other side of that, too, is I talked to him a couple years after I graduated, so a few years ago. And he kind of hit on some of the points that you're saying there. Just because, you know, we call for maybe a colder than normal winter or a warmer than normal winter, people kind of look at the snow. If we have a colder winter, oh, a lot of snow, or a warmer winter, it's going to be more rainy. Just because kind of the outlook leans one way or the other doesn't mean that we're not going to see the opposite end. So if, you know, a forecast is for a warmer winter, that doesn't mean the whole winter is going to see, you know, 50s, 60s. Throughout the entire year, we're still going to get those cold days, we're still going to see the snow, just kind of how much one way or the other. And likewise, if we're calling for a colder winter, it doesn't mean that we're not going to see those above average days too. So it's important to know that winter in Kentucky is still going to be cold, we're still going to have those snowy days, those wintry mix types of days, but this is just kind of, it's always fun to look at what to expect kind of the majority of the winter. But a couple lines from my professor that I always hung on to, that, you know, by the time it gets to February, it's not really going to matter, I don't think, of what winter to expect.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting, and it might even be hard to believe looking at seeing, oh, we should be having about a normal winter with that, since we've been staying with these below average temperatures for quite a while now, and it doesn't look like we're returning back to normal anytime soon.
Yeah, at least right now kind of trends that way for what you would suspect as a below normal temperatures. And we haven't seen a lot of precipitation, but we've seen a lot of precipitation events. And I was just looking at about the first 2 weeks now of November, and there were a couple days that had a lot of rain totals, but it was really a lot of those smaller quick events. So there were a lot of days where we had some very light rain, maybe a couple hundredths or about a tenth of an inch. But it just kind of presents that idea of, where temperatures have been colder than normal, and precipitation, we've seen a lot of quick moving events that kind of shows a lot of activity for the Ohio Valley. So that would kind of, at least the onset, of course, this pattern will likely not last through the entire consistent, you know, 3-month period, but it just kind of opens the door to, hey, we're already below normal, we're already kind of an active storm pattern with these quick systems, so maybe that would present the opportunity for a colder and potentially snowier winter. So I can kind of see it both ways. Obviously, like you mentioned, an El Nino year typically leads us to be warmer, but at the same time, we're already kind of seeing this pattern shaping up right now. Would that make it a little bit colder? So maybe that's why the Weather Service went equal chances for both, because it's just kind of a toss-up right now.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it's I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, forecasting 3 months out.
Yes.
That's obviously a very hard thing to do. So it's obviously going to be more of a wait and see event, but I think it's always fun to talk about, you know, what we think about it. So Evan, our special guest here,
special
what are
guest.
Some of your thoughts on it?
You know, it all doesn't just matter on, you know, it also matters the kind of the jet stream pattern. Excuse me. You know, if you get more storms out of the, you know, the Pacific Northwest or stuff like that, you're not going to have as much of a snow chance here as if, you know, you just, all it takes is one of those storms, you know, no matter what the outlook is, if one of those storms, you get a big low, goes across the southeast, dumps a whole lot of snow here, you're not going to remember any forecast that said warmer than normal winter if you're sitting there with a foot of snow on the ground. So
that's true. Even if our temperatures were consistently above average, if you
right.
had one of those big snow events, I think that's exactly what people would remember.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember off the top of my head. Like, I think it was 2015 was one of the snowiest winters, and I just remember sitting there not thinking about any kind of what the seasonal outlook was, sitting there watching it snow heavily with 12 degree temperatures. You know, in my hometown in Frankfort, that storm shut the whole state down, as I recall. So, you know, it only takes that one event for it to go from, you know, warmer than average in people's minds to, boy, we had a bad winter last year, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of all relative and kind of based on your perspective. You know, when I went to college, I was in Northeast Indiana, which isn't quite in the Great Lakes Lake Effect Zone, but it was still kind of a colder region, so we got a lot of snow. I think for us, that's Muncie, Indiana, and I think that year for us was a record snowfall year. And back here, southern Indiana, where my hometown is, it was, you know, not as snowy, but still pretty cold. So, you know, it's kind of that perspective for me. It was, oh, man, this was a brutal winter. For some people, friends and family at home, it was, wasn't too bad. It was cold, but, I mean, it wasn't that bad. So it's kind of your perspective, but I agree with that. It just takes that one event, maybe several inches of snow, and then, you know, that one event just makes the whole winter a brutal, or based on where you're at.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, speaking of how you guys don't remember outlooks or anything like that, I don't either, but you know, I went to college at Penn State, middle of Pennsylvania, State College there, and my first winter that I experienced there, which of course was not good for me because I'm from North Carolina, so we don't really have a whole lot of snow, and then even the locals out there, they were like, yeah, this is a pretty bad winter that we're having, but yeah, a lot of snow, lots of cold. That was the winter from 2014 to 2015, and I don't even remember what kind of pattern we were in there, but
yeah.
You know, just remembering those events is what really makes it a bad winter, I guess, in perspective, is what we're talking about, but yeah, you know, either way, it's still interesting to look at what might be happening for us here.
And there are, I'll go ahead and kind of shout out the one meteorologist that I referred to earlier. His name is Michael Wilhite. He's got a pretty good following on social media, so you may have heard of him, but he's actually from my hometown in southern Indiana. He runs a page called Southern Indiana Weather, and he's kind of a weather nerd in the sense of he likes to dig through the old data, the old events, so he's been looking at a lot of what are called analogs, which are kind of like that, the old weather events that have happened that could be a precursor for what's to come. So he likes to look through similar patterns to what we're in now and look at those older events and see maybe if that's what we're going at this year. So that's what he did with his winter outlook. And he goes into great detail too. So if you're kind of a weather fiend like we are, I recommend reading this. But he kind of goes through not just the models, but also kind of the patterns of what's going right now. And he's kind of on the extreme opposite of what the Weather Service says. He thinks well below normal temperatures for the Ohio Valley and also above average precipitation. So he's calling for a very cold and snowy winter. And he does kind of point out some similarities to now with the pattern of, I think it was the winter of 2014, where we had a lot of cold and some of those heavier snow events through this region. So that's kind of the other end of the perspective that maybe gives hope to those snow lovers. I feel like the consensus in this part of the country is that not too big on snow. People are kind of in spring and fall mode around here, but this guy in particular, he's a big fan of winter weather forecasting, and he puts a lot of detail in his forecast too. So I believe the weather website now for him is Wilhite Weather WX, or you can just search Southern Indiana weather as well, and it's a pretty interesting read, but just kind of a big difference. But he has a lot of the data in the post to back up his theory, so it kind of gives you, if you're interested in the weather, it makes sense. If not, it's kind of looking at, I don't know, raw, you know, yeah, like trying to read Greek or something. But it was a pretty interesting read, so just, yeah, kind of unknown.
I think that's interesting, because I think, you know, we've already, as we just mentioned, are in that pattern where we've been having almost wetter weather as mm-hmm. well as cooler weather. So if we keep up with this trend, he'd be right on.
Yeah, so, and just, because I remember, of course, like I mentioned, I was at Ball State for that winter that he's referring to, and that was the year, I believe that was the year that the polar vortex term took off, and yeah. All the national media ran with it and everything, and it just kind of got out of hand. But he's kind of, you know, if that's the case, then obviously it would be much more colder, or much colder up to the north, but that, I believe it was fairly cold down here as well, so if that does pan out, it could be a pretty interesting few months here going forward.
Those are some cold winters too. I remember we got down, I think one night, again in my hometown up in Frankfort, Kentucky, not quite as southerly as here, but still in the quote-unquote mid-south, and we got down to about negative 14 one of those nights. I think it was either 14 or 15 one of those days. So, I mean, it was just one of those winters. Yeah, it was one of those winters where you had just, you know, system after system after system, and warm up to like 50 degrees for 2 days, then you have like another cold snap. You were down into the, you know, 20s for highs. I think it was my junior year of high school, 2014, that winter, out of like 28 days or something, 21 days of, we could have had school in the month of January. We had school 7 days.
Wow.
Like, they closed because of the cold early, just coming out of winter break, and then it was just like freezing rain and snow for the next 2 months.
But I'm sure you guys weren't complaining about that.
No. Not well. When it started eating into summer vacation is when we really started to complain.
That's where we cut it off. That's where we draw the line.
That's true.
Remember the one time we were all excited because we were ready for a snow event, because we knew we had like a big essay due the next day, and you know, back in high school, we didn't do a whole lot of things by internet. You just turn it in by hand. And our professor, or our teacher, wow, I'm in college mode, but our teacher was like, yeah, just email it to me by midnight. I was like, oh, come on. And now I just do that all the time. I'm in college.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They don't really care too much about winter weather.
No, but the good thing about college, you don't have to make up the snow days.
That's true.
Yeah. So that's always a plus. And now I know a lot of schools here have gone to that e-learning day or learn at home type of.
Yeah,
each district kind of calls it different, something different, but we didn't have that when I was in school. It was just, you're off. But I guess the plus side would be that it wouldn't really cut into your summer break. So yeah. It's a trade-off. I don't know.
I was going to say, we didn't even have those when I was in school, and I'm a quote-unquote youngin', so I'm only 4 years out of high school, so we didn't even have them back when I was in high school. I graduated in 2015.
Yeah.
So we didn't have them then.
And I think my school district that I graduated from just started doing this past school year. So still some districts are trying to catch on and everything. But
I didn't even hear about it until right now, and you guys are telling me about it. So
they'll give like assignments online that they'll have to submit to make sure that they're, I guess, you know, keeping up on the schedule for the year. Instead of missing that day, they can stay on schedule, stay on track, even if there's a snow day.
I wonder how well that actually works.
I don't know,
I know when I was in school, if we had a snow day, nobody was doing any work, so.
Yeah,
I think paying attention to anything.
Right, exactly.
Slept till 10 and play Xbox. That was exactly. Snow days when I was in high school.
Go outside and try to make a snowman with like half an inch of snow. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. At all costs, we're making a snowman.
You could at least make a snow angel, I guess.
Yeah.
That was good, at least. Yeah.
But I think that was the basis of what I've seen, at least. I read into that last report that I mentioned, but just kind of glanced over the weather service. It, like I said, just kind of seems like they're they see that it could go either way, but I feel like my gut tells me leaning towards the colder, snowier side, just like what you said about that we're kind of already seeing that so far this month. So time will tell, but that's just kind of what my gut instinct is telling me.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, especially since we, in the short, long-term range, I guess, of the next couple weeks here, it really doesn't look like we're going to be warming up too terribly much, so, yeah.
All it takes is that one system with the right temperature profile.
True. Yep.
Yes.
It only takes one. Yep. But with exactly. the topic of wintry precipitation, I know we have a couple of winter weather-related questions this week.
Yes, we do. We got a couple of questions in, which they are a little strange. I had actually never heard about doing this, but we had one question where the person asked, is it a good idea to not lock your cars when we're expecting frozen precipitation that, you know, would ice over your car so you couldn't get in the morning? And I had actually never heard of that.
Yeah, me either.
Because, you know, I mean, I assume that they're talking about actually putting the key into the door, and you can't break through the ice to get your key in the door. I think a lot of us nowadays have the cars where you have the key fob where you can just unlock it. But yeah, I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I would start by saying, full disclaimer, first of all, I would not recommend unlocking your door for safety reasons.
Exactly.
Obviously, if you have property in there that you don't want anybody messing with, yes, lock your door. In a weather sense, I get, because this question came to us this morning, and they had mentioned that they've experienced this before, where kind of the rain dripped down over the lock of their car, and overnight it froze, and then they couldn't get their key into the keyhole of their car. So like you mentioned, I'm assuming that's an older model, older make and model that doesn't have the electronic remote system of unlocking it. So I would, I guess from that waiver, I wouldn't recommend, you know, from a safety reason again, but I'll leave that up to your discretion.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you have one of those older cars, if you don't want to get locked out, sure.
Yeah, I would say, you know, but if you do that, you know, make sure you take the valuables out.
Yes.
Yeah, and then bring them in the car with you the next morning when, you know, you can lock it again and it'll be safe. Yeah, I would not recommend leaving your cars unlocked at night, but you know, I mean, in his case, he had to do it. So, again, just watch out for those valuables for sure. Make sure you're taking those out. I think if I had one of those older cars that was the case, I think I would just, you know, maybe pick at the ice until you were able to get the key in there.
I actually remember this when I was in high school. Our next door neighbor, their children were a few grades ahead of me, so the their youngest was driving at the time, and I remember that I looked outside and she had an extension cord from her garage out to the front yard and had her blow dryer hooked up to the extension cord, and she's using the hot function on her hair dryer to melt away the ice to her, I think not the keyhole, but kind of the lining of the door was frozen, so she used that. So very innovative, kind of a painstaking process to drag all that equipment out, but it worked for her. She got to school, so.
Yeah.
Very, very scientific.
Yes, she went the full 9 yards on that one.
Yeah. Although I would not recommend doing that on your windows because that might make them crack.
Yes.
So, right.
And that was another, not really question, but kind of a tip that was provided to us is don't pour hot water on your windshield to melt that. And another disclaimer, this person who submitted this did not do this, but he said he knows someone who has, and obviously did not end very well, cracked the windshield, so don't pour hot water over your window.
Yeah, I would say the best method is good old-fashioned defrost.
Yes, may take a little bit, depending on your car, but that's
right.
The safer route.
Just gotta plan an extra couple minutes for that morning commute there. And, of course, you know, another tip that was mentioned was wipers up.
Yes, and I didn't start doing this until like a couple of years ago, and I don't know why it took me so long to do this, because you have to wait extra long to melt the ice underneath the blades if it's on your windshield. And then, yeah, especially last year, we had a few freezing rain events here in South Central Kentucky, and I was so glad that I put my wipers up so I didn't have to scrape underneath them to begin wiping away the ice. So, yeah, on my experience, I recommend that.
Yeah, and it's not safe to, you know, have the wipers down and then scraping at them, because you could actually rip off the rubber part of the wiper,
that's
not good. You'll scratch your windows. But what I actually learned to do, which I feel like this is a very unpopular thing to do, but I went out to the store, bought a tarp, and at Penn State all the time, I would always put the tarp over my, so it would cover the whole windshield, a little bit of, you know, the top of the car. So if there's a little snow that, you know, dropped down or whatever, wouldn't get onto your windshield. And then I'd make sure that the tarp also covered over the windshield wipers. So I would leave my windshield wipers flat and then over about half of the hood of the car. And that worked out pretty well. Didn't have any problems with anything being frozen in the mornings. And I could just open the doors and rip the tarp right off, and windshield's clean.
Easy stuff.
Yeah. So there's another tip for you from me. Works out pretty well. Haven't had any problems with it. And I'm still able to lock my car.
There you go. Yes. Best of both worlds.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And then another thing that was mentioned was park at the top of the driveway.
Yes. I forgot about that. That's yes. For numerous reasons, especially if you have a paved, I would say rocky, if you have rock down in your driveway, that would probably be okay, unless there's a lot of snow, obviously, but I think in this case, this is a paved driveway, and it gets pretty icy, so yeah, if there's a easy to get in and out, you might have to walk a little bit further to your house, but in terms of getting back out on the roads, if you have to leave, it's a quick, just off the driveway, off the curb, and you're on the road.
Yes, and I highly recommend that if you live on a hill. Growing up,
yeah.
We lived on a hill. And, yeah, if there was ice, which we would get pretty much for our winter events in North Carolina, there was no getting up that hill with ice. So parking at the top of the driveway was necessary.
That reminds me of a story, too. The station I interned at in Evansville, I wasn't there at the time, but I was talking with the meteorologist there. I think it was the same winter we're talking about, 2013, 14, maybe somewhere in there, where their station's kind of up on a hill, too, and it's a little bit of a windy road. It's not really, it's by the highway, but they don't treat it as quickly as the main roads. So there was one winter event in particular where there's, I think, one employee at the station who had like a four-wheel car, or at least a vehicle that could gain traction and go up the hill. So everybody else parked in like a store parking lot at the bottom of the hill, and this guy with this vehicle is basically acting as their transportation, going up and down the hill for a half hour or so to bring everybody from their cars to the station, and then people off work, he took them down, and so it was, that's kind of an interesting. Thankfully, we're on flat land here at
yes.
WNKY. But
well, that was nice of that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If it was my vehicle, I might have been like, sorry, guys. You just have to trek up the hill.
Pay me in food. Give me lunch, maybe.
Hey, that's not a bad deal.
He just speaks volumes, I'll tell you.
Yes. Any food with anybody in news always speaks well. All right, Evan, do you have any winter tips or thoughts on these tips?
No, you guys pretty much summed it up. I mean, I'm the guy who, I don't have a car, so I
yeah,
just,
so you're walking through campus all
yeah.
the time. So, yeah, any walking tips for those that don't have cars?
That could pose trouble.
Just be careful. Some of that black ice can also, you know, on that pavement on, well, I walk almost on sidewalks on campus, but they can still be pretty dangerous. And don't forget to bundle up. I bundled up this morning because it was pretty chilly and just had the sock cap and the hoodie and the long sleeve shirt and the coat, and I was prepared this morning.
That's good. Yeah, I remember one winter it was so cold on campus that, you know, that's when a lot of the posts were going viral about, you know, preventing hypothermia, but also covering your skin as well. So there were many hats, scarves wrapped around your face, gloves, bundle up layers types of days for me, and maybe we'll see some of those over the next couple of months too. I don't know.
But. Yeah, and speaking of walking, back at Penn State, another little hack. yeah, there's some brutal winters out there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I learned a lot of stuff with snow and ice. I found these cool things called yak tracks.
Oh.
And they are like metal that you would, so it's like, I guess in a diamond like hatch pattern on the bottom. It's metal, and then they have like coils that go around. They're like metal bars, and then it has rubber that you can put around your shoe, like just around the tip and the bottom of your shoe. Stays on really well, and then you're not slipping and sliding all over the place, and you don't have to, you know, work on those leg muscles to keep your balance
yeah.
all the time walking everywhere. So that's also a fun little thing if you happen to, you know, be walking those long distances.
Very useful on the hill.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yes.
I can't imagine that. It'd be very...
I can't wait to tell my kids someday, well, when I was in school, we walked up the hill both ways in the snow.
In the most literal sense.
In the most literal sense.
Yeah, I walked on the WKU campus not too long ago, and man, that hill, that's
every
a killer.
Day.
Yeah.
And every day.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
I thought we had some bad hills at Penn State, but I don't know, that one hill at WKU, that's pretty rough.
Yeah. Then that's where, like, 90% of classes are. It's where all of my classes are. You have to summit the hill and then go back down the, kind of the other, not the other side, but it kind of goes a little bit down, which is where the environmental science building is. So it's something, especially when you're getting up there. Like, you're already running late for class, like I was yesterday, and it's just, you know, you're trying to run to meet the, and you're just slowed down by the hill, and then it winds and all this stuff. Yeah.
You know, I guess great for exercise.
Yeah, you get used to it.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, I think that pretty much sums up what we wanted to really cover today.
I think so.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to add real quick?
I got nothing else, Cody.
I don't think so. I think it was a very thorough show. I think we're on to something with the maybe colder, snowier winter. So that'll be something to watch going forward. But after we get, I mean, there's really no major events upcoming. We talked about at the beginning of the show when we were recording this, we had that wintry type of event for your middle part of the week, but it looks like nothing really major headed our way once this has left the region. So it's, at least in the short term, we're looking fairly quiet in terms of major systems, I guess. There's a couple chances in between, you know, the weekend, and we'll just have to watch for maybe some light, quick-moving rain showers. But other than that, no major issues storm-wise or winter weather-wise, at least in the short term.
It will actually be warming up slightly.
Yeah,
to those,
heat wave.
Almost 60.
Heat wave to those low to mid-50s.
Yeah. I mean, after this, it will feel pretty nice. So.
Yeah, still below average for temperatures. But, you know, better than being in the 30s for highs like we have been.
Yes.
So I will take it, and I will take the sunshine, and hopefully... I'm sure it won't be long before our next system comes, but hopefully it'll hold off for a little while. But yeah, and then, you know, as we're recording this, we have that crazy mixed precipitation event going on, and that brings us into what we'll be talking about next week, which is going to be about how we see these different types of mixed precipitation events. Like, for example, some of us are seeing some rain right now, and others are seeing some sleet, and others are seeing freezing rain. So what in the atmosphere determines what type of frozen precipitation you're going to be seeing, and exactly what those types of things are, grapple, other types of fun winter precipitation. We'll be covering all of that on our next episode. That will be episode 9.
Almost to double digits.
I know.
We're getting there.
And it has been so much fun to finally have Evan on our podcast.
It's been great. It's been wonderful.
Long overdue.
Yes.
Only took 8 weeks, but we got it.
Exactly. We're going to have to get him on here again. And I think the funny part, you guys don't know this, but normally when we're recording this, Evan is either in the building or in the vicinity, but he always apparently has something to do that he can't record with us.
We can't confirm that, but
yeah,
it's kind of ironic.
So
I too have to eat lunch. Pretty good right now. I'm pretty hungry.
It is.
You know, you could do lunch after the podcast or even maybe during the podcast. Maybe we'll make this a luncheon podcast event.
Yeah.
Let's do lunch, guys.
Yeah.
Tacos mouth full? I'm game. Okay.
Talk about what we're eating for the day. Sure. Maybe give somebody some lunch ideas for the next day after they listen to us.
I like it.
Although my lunch is probably more dinner, but, you know.
We will take, payment and food is always good, like I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yes.
If you ever want to drop a couple pizzas off, just care of weather staff, WNKY, drop them off.
Yeah.
We will graciously accept.
And you know, if you happen to come around podcast time, maybe you'll be our next special guest.
So I did want to touch, too, you mentioned the next week's topic about wintry precipitation. I've already, even today, had a couple of questions about, you know, what's the difference between this and that? What makes this sleet and things like that? So I'm highly anticipating next week's show for the topic and hopefully some questions, too.
Yes.
I've already gotten some today.
Send those questions in. Any crazy winter phenomena stuff, we can probably cover that as well. I know recently I just saw something about frost flowers.
Yes.
Which I had never heard of before, but apparently they're a real thing, so.
Yeah, I think I saw what you're talking about. I didn't read into it either, but that's, yeah, that'll be an interesting.
Yeah, so we can talk a little bit about that too. Yeah, send us questions about anything else or any weird winter weather phenomena that you happen to know about, and we can research it and find out more.
That's right. So that's just weather@wnky.com. Send your questions, your suggestions, topic ideas, anything you want us to know or anything you want to know, and we'll try and answer those or make those some topics of discussion on an upcoming episode.
Yeah. Well, with that, if you guys don't have anything else,
I think we're good.
We are. That concludes our episode 8 of WNKY Weather Weekly. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us. I've been meteorologist Christy Stewart.
I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I've been Evan Hatter.
Have a great day.